looking at a really strangely disturbing photo. There's a model in it, and it looks as though she's on a bus. She's kind of being, I don't know if groped is too strong a word to use, but there are two men, one at either side of her, and she's kind of draped across them. And they seem to be controlling her, at the very least. In fact, there are a series of photos, and at one point, she seems pinned to the ground by a group of men, also who happen to be models. I can tell you, she's very, very well dressed. And if that seems like a really trite juxtaposition, indeed a shocking one, and a trite observation to be making, well, yes, that's exactly the point. This is a fashion shoot that has come out of India that is inspired by the famous gang rape that took place on the bus. That seems to be making some kind of comment. I don't know. Personally, I can't see any point to it. And I didn't realise that this is actually a trend that's happening within fashion photography more and more until I started looking into it today. Joining me now is Melinda Tankard-Reist, who is a media commentator and knows more about this than I have until now. Melinda, am I naive to have been so shocked by this?
I'm glad you were shocked by that image. We should all be shocked by that image, given that it references the fatal gang rape of a young female student on a New Delhi bus in December 2012. But sadly, this is not an isolated example. I just gave a paper on this last month in Sydney and showed multiple examples of the glamorisation of violence against women in advertising, marketing, fashion, beauty and mainstream popular culture. This is a trend that's been happening for some years. It is getting worse, and it really just suggests that violence against women is so entrenched and so normal that we're going to use it now to sell products, to make ads with, and that trivialises it and mocks it, and certainly mocks the survivors of real-life violence every day.
Well, it's clearly trying to stand out, and when you say it's becoming common, big fashion houses are starting to do things that at the very least seem to reference violence, like Calvin Klein, Dolce & Gabbana, Jimmy Choo's. They've all run these controversial ads in recent years. The one that really shocked me most came out of Bulgaria. Mm. You'd be familiar with this.
Yes.
They called it Victim of Beauty. And it has photos of a range of different models, each of whom I assume is being made up to look as though they've been assaulted. So a blackened eye or a laceration across the nose or a cut just under the mouth or whatever it might be. I presume done by makeup. I don't know what this is trying to sell to me.
Well, domestic violence has just become another form of fashion chic. I mean, violence against women is just so hot right now. You have referenced a number of companies which depict women chopped up, cut up into little pieces, in boots of cars about to be buried, tied up, bound. I've seen images of women stabbed, shot, decapitated, their organs stolen with slashes to their kidneys and to their heart where they've removed the organs. And that was from a program called America's Next Top Model at 6:30 on a Sunday night before Australian Idol.
Where the models, didn't they have a segment where you had to make death look...
Crime scene victims episodes where the models had to make out they had been murdered and the one that looked the sexiest dead was the winner. We are seeing more examples of this. And again, it just normalises it. And one of the problems is that with proliferation comes normalisation. We have a national plan of action to address violence against women, but nothing is done to stop the cultural drivers, the cultural permission-giving beliefs that suggest this is normal, this is okay, this is even sexy, that women invited, that women want it. So what is the point of this national plan of action that we put hundreds of thousands of dollars into when we do nothing to address a culture which normalises it?
Except I wonder, I mean, I take the point you're making about normalisation, but it seems to me this is happening in a context where it's designed somehow to shock you. And what I don't understand about this is, I imagine at the very least, this is marketing to women. So the idea here is to make women want to buy these products. Now, I'm clearly not in that target market. You're much closer to being in it than I am, I assume, Melinda. Mm. What possible reasoning could there be, or what is the idea here that could make this something that people would actually want to purchase?
Yes, they're not just companies marketing to women, but you're right. There is this attempt to to shock. I mean, there was a fashion shoot depicting the Australian model Abby Lee Kershaw, where she was shown leaping off a building to her death. It's as though we've glamorised everything. We've run out of things to glamorise, so now we're even glamorising suicide. And this is the first year ever that girls have been as successful as boys in killing themselves. In the past, they would attempt but not be as successful. And now they are successful. And yet again, in mainstream popular culture, even suicide now is being presented as glamorous. And, you know, you have to look hot. And the problem is the research shows globally that when men and women are exposed to sexually objectifying images of women from mainstream media, including violent images, they're more accepting of rape myths, sexual harassment, sex role stereotypes, interpersonal violence, and adversarial sexual beliefs about relationships. So this is having an impact. We will see more violence as a result of this proliferation, globalisation and normalisation.
And then there was this one from Vogue Italia, which sounded like this. Now, it looks and sounds like a horror film. It's just the people in it are, as I say, very well dressed. And then when there was criticism of that, and the response that Vogue gave bewildered me. It said, and this is me reading it out, "The horror of life is bigger than the one that you can see in the movies. This is really a horror show. What we're looking at and what we see every day in every newspaper around the world is how fragile the woman still is today and how she can be attacked, can be abused, can be killed." I don't know what they're trying to do.
They're trying to look like they care, but actually they don't give a stuff, really. I mean, they're the ones trying to profit from normalising violence against women.
So in the Indian case that we referenced earlier,
yes,
it was similar justification. The idea was we're trying to raise awareness here. Is
no,
there any
not.
Legitimacy to that argument?
It sexualises and eroticises violence. That's what it does, and it does that in the male viewer that looks at that thinks that this is a sexy-looking ad. So violence becomes sexy. Violence becomes normal. Women want to be treated like this. I'd love to be able to quote Kate Ravenscroft. She's a Melbourne-based anti-violence campaigner and actually a survivor of sexual violence. I addressed a big advertising, or the Mumbrella 360 advertising conference in Melbourne, in Sydney a couple of years ago, and I asked Kate for a message to pass on to the advertisers that were represented there as a survivor of violence, sexual violence. And she said this: one in three women are victims of violence. That means at least one-sixth of their audience are potentially victims of violence. Seeing that violence, especially violence against women, but any violence, treated flippantly, carelessly, can be devastating, not just offensive or even hurtful. It can actually provoke post-traumatic reactions and symptoms. And worst of all, it entrenches and repeats the culture that enabled the victimisation of so many of us in the first place. And I would just wish that the advertising industry would think about the impact on survivors of violence when they just see it normalised every day, everywhere they look, for profits.
Well, perhaps not even normalised, perhaps even more than that, made desirable in some way or another.
Exactly.
A couple of texts, one just says boycott, boycott, boycott. Another one just says, and some people say we don't need feminism anymore, how quickly things can unravel. Mm. Keep your thoughts coming in, 0418 226 576. Melinda, I was shocked to discover this was going on. Clearly it's not marketing that I come across. We will provide links on our website so that you can see some of these images that I'm talking about. You won't find the images themselves, but you'll find links if you want to navigate there yourself. Thank you very much for lending us your expertise, Melinda. Appreciate it.
Can I just make a mention that if people do want to take action against this, it's one thing to get angry, but we need to harness that anger into grassroots action, protests, boycotts, movement against this. And my colleagues and I started a movement called Collective Shout for a World Free of Sexploitation. We give people tips on how to protest, how to take action, how to say enough is enough. And we've had some significant victories against some of the companies that you've actually mentioned tonight as a result. CollectiveShout.org.
Melinda Tankard-Reist, if you want to get involved, that is the website. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the program, Waleed.
25 minutes past 7.